truly a privilege again to be with you guys and to worship and to share once again. My wife and I and my little girl, who's in the nursery. You have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 22. If you don't have them, perhaps you can sit close to someone that has one. Perhaps you can look on. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do give thanks on this day. Lord, we thank you for your word that leads us and guides us in all truth and knowledge. Father, I just pray that your spirit be upon me, that your word comes forth. I pray that I be hidden behind the cross. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Amen. Remember the story of a man who was coming from overseas. He was visiting the United States, and he was learning the English language. And so he and his host spent a lot of time together. And so before this guy was about to go back overseas after being in the United States for just a little time trying to learn the English language, they went to one of those college sports bars, right? So they were there, and they saw all of these plaques along the wall, right? So they saw this, and he looked and said, okay, now what is that for? The host told him, well, you know, you can eat so many hot wings, right? They can, that you can get your name, you know, on this particular item, right? They say you can just get your name on the wall, right? And so this guy, knowing the English language a little bit, and he recognized that which was on the wall, was a plaque, right? He didn't know the English language very well, so he said, oh yeah, I would love to, before I go back, to have a sign that I was actually here in the United States and in this particular sports bar by getting my name on one of those plaque cuties. The host kind of paused and said, plaque cuties. Oh, okay. He stopped and says, well, no, it's actually plaque, even though it's spelled P-L-A-Q-U-E, it's pronounced plaque. He said, oh, okay, whatever. Well, I just don't think I'll be able to do it because those hot wings just have a tendency to burn my tongue, Yui, so much. So the host was a little embarrassed this time and said, well, actually, my friend, it's pronounced tongue. Whenever you have the U-E on the end of words, often it's silent, okay? He said, well, okay, whatever. We don't have to arg about it. The reality is that sometimes when you're learning new things, or especially things like language, there are so many different rules and so many different concepts, so many different things that you have to keep up with and sort through that it can often be difficult. The easiest thing to do is just to kind of throw up our hands with it and just leave well enough alone. But often these things take work. Now I want to just share with you a few thoughts this morning out of Matthew 22 entitled Cultivating the Christian Mind. Cultivating the Christian mind, following the teaching and example of Christ. Cultivating the Christian mind, following the teaching and the example of Christ. You see, unfortunately, I think many in our culture and our society suffer from intellectual laziness, okay? Especially when it comes to spiritual matters and spiritual things. When I was in college, one of the things I really had to wrestle with as I was growing in my faith is saying, do I really have to check my brains out at the door when I come into church on Sunday mornings? Do I have to live and think one way when I'm in school and doing other things, and then another way in the church? See, there's this split often, or this division that is often made between the head and the heart. But I think we need both of those things to be true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Asking me to choose between the head and the heart is like asking me to choose between the left wing and the right wing of an airplane. You see, you need them both, I think, to fly. There was a gentleman by the name of Os Guinness. Some of you perhaps have heard of him. He's written just, I don't know, 40, 50 little books and things on that line. And one of those books he has, it's called Fit Body, and trying to suggest that people think you do, but you really don't know. And then he goes on, to basically instruct them on the resurrection of the dead. And then we see in verse 32, he basically quotes Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, when it says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Now, this is a subtlety here that is very important that we don't miss. Now, sometimes, you know how it is when we think we're kind of smarter than a lot of other folks, and sometimes we think we're smarter than Jesus, right? You know, I'll think, you know, wait a minute, Jesus. If I was sitting here listening to this conversation, I'm thinking, wait a minute. To prove the resurrection or that there is really life after death, what the Sadducees were denying, well, Jesus, look, why don't you go to Exodus chapter 3, 6, this seemingly confusing passage, I am the God of the living, not of the dead, right? I am the God of Abraham. Why would you go there when passages like Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 seem to be a little more straightforward, which reads, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. I'm like, that's a clear verse, and it's in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. That's the first thing that should come to your mind, Jesus. But Jesus, being very wise and smart, much smarter than all of us, right? He understood that the Sadducees did not accept the testimony of the prophets. They accepted the testimony of the law, or of Exodus, but they didn't accept the testimony of the prophets. So it really wouldn't have made Jesus' point for him to quote an authority that they didn't accept. In other words, what Jesus did, he says, look, I'm going to take an authority that you accept, that you think is true, and that you think is accurate, and then show you that, look, if he is speaking in the present here, I am the God of Abraham, how could God be the God of Abraham in the present if Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob aren't still alive? You see, in other words, he again flipped the script on the Sadducees. And they had to wonder and think about that. Wait a minute, we do accept the fact that the testimony of God says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And so when they heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Why? Because again, as I said earlier, the contradiction that they thought was Jesus, Jesus flipped the script and let them know that the contradiction you thought was mine is actually yours. And here again, Jesus understanding not only his, or understanding the scriptures, but he also understood the worldview and the thinking of those who he was interacting with, and he was able to encourage them in particular ways here. And so I think this is very interesting for us to look at, that even when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we see not only does he instruct us to love God with all of who we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves, but we also see in his ministry throughout this aspect of cultivating the life of the mind. And as I've mentioned throughout, part of our discipleship unto the Lord Jesus and following Christ is learning to cultivate the life of the mind. We certainly should not neglect every other aspect of our lives, but we certainly need not to minimize that. I want to encourage you to take seriously the opportunities that you have to think, to study, to grow, to reflect on our world. Because I think in doing so, we'll come to understand the beauty of God's creation more and the grandeur of his work in this earth in ways that will encourage our hearts. So let me encourage you to cultivate the life of the mind. And in doing so, you follow not only the instruction of Jesus, but also the example of our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for these students that you have assembled here. Father, we pray that those aspects of your word, Lord, that you want us to have, that they sink deep into our hearts and our minds, Lord, and that they take root, Lord, and produce fruit in our lives. Those areas or aspects, Lord, that were not of you, Lord, I pray that they quickly pass from our minds. Father, I just pray that you just strengthen and encourage each and every individual that's here. I pray that their hearts be encouraged to continue to grow in new heights for you and to understand that what it means to be a disciple of you, not only to be transformed in our spiritual lives, Lord, but also be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we know that in doing so, we actually fulfill the call to discipleship that you placed before us. We ask these things in the name of your mighty and precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.